Good morning. Welcome to Bethany United Methodist Church and our drive-in worship service. As you can see, it's a rainy day, so we've come indoors to bring this to you on Facebook. We hope that you're having a wonderful, blessed day. Before we start, I would like to remind you to please text any praises or prayer requests to 540-495-0501 so Pastor Susan can include these requests with her prayer later in the service. Now, before we begin our singing time, I would like to just ask all of you to bow your heads and go to the Lord with me in prayer. Good morning, Father God. We have gathered together to worship you today, and we pray that our praises and prayers put a smile on your face, and that you are glorified in a mighty, great way. Now, Lord, we don't deserve your love or forgiveness, but we thank you for both. Please, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit right now. Please let us be a reflection of you wherever we go. We thank you and we love you, Father God. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Now, our first song is straight out of Scripture. In Matthew 23:36, in one of the Pharisees' attempt to embarrass Jesus or trip him up, he asked Jesus, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." That's right, people. Love the Lord.
I will love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all all my mind and with all my strength. I will love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind and with all my strength. I will love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind and with all my strength.
That's right. Amen. Now, as children of God, we are a family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and as such, we need to show the world how much we love the Lord our God. We need to show them that we practice what we say we believe, and we also need to be able to share what we believe. Our next song, which is We Believe, to me tells us everything we need to share. It tells everyone what we believe and how we believe it. And as we sing it, let's just like feel it fill our whole beings how we believe.
Dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again.
The lost
he found, and the dead he raised, and the here and now, the loving way that the church live loud. Our God will say, we believe, and the gates of hell will not prevail, for the power of God has torn the veil. Now we know your love will never fail. We believe, we believe,
we believe
in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe
amen and amen. be time for children's moments.
Good morning. On this rainy, nasty day, here we are. So, you know how sometimes God just speaks to you? This happens to me a lot of times, and sometimes, honestly, I don't listen. But a lot of times I do. God spoke to me a lot this week. I saw tons and tons of pictures of that rainbow the other morning. Did you guys see that rainbow the other morning? It was beautiful. I wish I could have seen it in person from my house, but I saw all the pictures, and I just loved seeing all those pictures of it. Then I had lots of friends say things about, you go through the storms, at the end of the storm there's a rainbow. I just felt like this whole week that's what God was telling me to talk about today. So I have actually a couple other pictures that my boys brought home. I hope you can see this, but these pictures of rainbow stuff that my boys made in school this week. So this one is one of my favorites. God is faithful, and he always keeps his promises, and that's what I'm going to tell you about today. But isn't that great? Hayden drew that, and Grayson drew this one, and if you know me, you know how much this means to me because there's a giraffe down here, and that's my favorite animal is a giraffe. So beautiful rainbow. Rainbows are beautiful. They make us smile. So I wanted to read you just a little bit. I know you guys know the Noah story. We've talked about the Noah story a lot. Noah built an ark. But this little part of a shortened version of this story just made me think about how important it is to remember that there's always going to be a rainbow at the end, but there's something else we can do. The part of the story goes like this. So Noah built the ark according to God's blueprints. His neighbors asked him what he was doing. Building an ark, he said. Why? They asked. Because the Lord told me to do so. God is going to send a flood and destroy the earth. You know, it's going to happen. And his neighbors just laughed. Ha! That's not going to happen. But you know what Noah did? He just kept hammering. And this is what makes me think that you put all these things together, God showing us these rainbows and all my friends and my kids bringing home stuff about rainbows this week. We have to stay loyal and we have to stay faithful to God. And even though the times are hard, and even though in the back of our head somewhere we know that there's going to be a rainbow, we still have to stay loyal, we have to stay faithful, and we have to listen for those tiny little moments when God is telling us to do certain things. Have you ever had a trouble like that where you're in the middle of something really, really bad and it's still like you know it's going to be okay, but you're not quite sure it's going to be okay? If you pray to God and if you tell him how much you love him and you tell him that you need help through those times, you will get through it and at the end you will see a rainbow. Let's say a little prayer and then I'll leave you guys with that. Dear Jesus, please help us to listen to you. Help us to be faithful no matter what, and help us to always look for those rainbows. Amen.
Our scripture for today comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, see, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. To you then who believe, he is precious, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Let us pray. Gracious God, loving Father, we come to you today and maybe we don't feel like really good building material. Maybe we feel more like sand than stones. But Lord, we know that you can form us, that you can shape us, that you can call us into our best selves. So Lord, as we consider your scripture this morning, reveal to us how we can be living stones and create a spiritual house. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. In the picturesque city of Bath, England, there is a church, more like a cathedral in appearance. It's called the Abbey Church of St. Peter and St. Paul, and usually they just refer to it as Bath Abbey. And Bath gets its name because of the Roman baths that were built there. There are hot springs in the town, and so it was a place where the Romans went to have hot baths, and then later it became a very fat. You're not hearing anything. Okay. Well, I'm gonna keep it. Anyway. So in this city, there was the cathedral, and there has been a church or a place of worship there for over 1,000 years. The first place that was there was a monastery, and that was built in like the 8th century, and that fell into disrepair. And then there was in the 1500s, there was earlier than that, there was a Norman cathedral built there, and then in the 1500s, another church. So, and that church is still in existence today. But what they found was that in 2013, they found that the floor seemed to be collapsing in places. And so what they did was they decided to dig down and find the foundation walls of that earlier Norman cathedral. And so the workers got in there and they started to dig down. And what they found was that the old foundation was gone, and there were these huge spaces under the entire structure. And this is a big stone church. A spokesperson for the Abbey said, when we went in underneath one of the medieval pillars, there was fresh air underneath, and at that point we stopped work and tried to fill it back in. So the problem was that throughout the Abbey's existence, an estimated 6,000 bodies had been buried under the floor. So if you were an honored, revered, important person in Bath, you got buried under the floor of the cathedral. And you could imagine 6,000 bodies at one point took up a lot of space. But eventually, coffins and everything else deteriorated, and they were just bones where all of those bodies had been. And because of that, it left this huge space under the floor. Since then, they've had a massive restoration project that cost about, in American dollars, about $28 million. and to what they had to do was fill in under the floor with gouting material and then shore it up, and then the remains that they had taken out, the bits and pieces, they then returned and prayed over. But the good news is that no one is likely to go plunging through the floor while they're reciting the Lord's Prayer in Bath Abbey anytime soon. So it's, you know, when Peter talks about living stones, you know, he's not talking about that kind of thing where you've got old bones underneath the church. That's not what Peter had in mind when he talks about being built into a spiritual house. He didn't imagine the remains of the saint holding up the building. He was thinking about living stones, and you and I are those living stones. We are to be built into a spiritual house. We had our charge conference yesterday by Zoom, and our district superintendent, Victor Gomez, showed us a video clip, and it had the tagline, "Open We Stand." The announcer's voice asked, "Are you going to remain open even when your doors are closed?" And that kind of sums up what we've been trying to do over the last 8 months. Even though we've been closed off from in-person worship, we've been trying to remain as open as possible even when we couldn't gather as we were accustomed to do. And it's that reminder that, well, the church has left the building, but it hasn't stopped being church. This is our last celebration, Sunday celebration of our stewardship campaign, which really has been a celebration of all the work that people have done to make this current reality work, to help build us into those living stones of the church. And one of the things that I want to celebrate today is the good community, how Bethany is part of the community and all the people who work together to make that happen. Down through the years, Bethany has worked to be a loving and supportive member of this community, a part of this community. And I think of Jesus as the keystone. Now, I know that Peter said Jesus was the cornerstone, and cornerstones are very important. If Bath Abbey taught us anything, is that you need a strong foundation, and Jesus is our foundation, but he's also, I think, the keystone. I remember learning about this in art history, that just like Jesus is the one who holds us together, holds us strong, the keystone of an arch, of a stone arch, is what holds the archway together and keeps it staying upright. Picture in your mind for a moment the Roman Colosseum. You know what it looks like. You've seen lots of pictures of it. You know, it's that circular structure, and it has all of those arches going around in tiers. Well, the Romans were the perfecter of the arch in architecture. You know, the arch has been around in architecture for about 4,000 years, but the Romans really understood how to make it work. And the reason that's important, you think about back to the time when you were little and you played with blocks. You know, probably one of the first structures you made, you know, you took a rectangular block and you set it down, and then you set another rectangular block next to it, and then you put one on top. So you made like a little doorway. And that's called, a pillar and lintel structure. So, but you're limited. You're limited by how wide that top block is. And so with the arch, you could go bigger, you could go fancier, but in order to make it work, you take these wedge-shaped blocks, ones that are narrower in the front and wider in the back, and you stack them in a circle and support it from underneath until you put in the keystone. That center keystone is what supports the whole thing, what keeps it together. And I think of Jesus as being the keystone, the one who distributes the force, the weight of all of those stones, and keeps them together and holds them upright and makes them a beautiful structure that you can make large, like in the Colosseum, We're small like a doorway, but holds us together. He's what holds us together into that spiritual house. It takes many different kinds of living stones to build this kind of structure. And I don't feel like a living stone. I feel like, you know, a lump of sand. But God shapes us, makes us into living stones that can be built into a structure. Now, I think back a year ago, and it seems even longer than a year ago, when we were doing mission projects during our Connections Hour. We had people who were putting together sets of cards to go to prisoners. So that they could send them out to people that they loved. You know, we were putting together material and pads for women in Honduras, sending out food to first responders. It was really neat. It was neat to see how Bethany works together to do mission in the community. And I know that right now that's hard to do, and we mentioned, Julie Ritchie mentioned this at charge conferences, that, you know, that's something that we want to do. We still do it through the food pantry, but we want to do more. We want to be more connected, was what she was hearing from people. And I hope we will dream about ways that we can continue to connect with our community. That's what I think the DNA of Bethany really is, being connected with community and serving others. And it's amazing to see how the living stones have been built into this structure that we call our Bethany family. At a previous appointment, we built a whole new church. I think part of my job was to remind people why we were building this building. We weren't building this for ourselves. We were building it for future generations and for the ministry that they would be able to have from this place. We had a great architect, and he was very aware that he wasn't just building any old building. He wasn't building a strip center. He was building a church, and he worked with us to make it a holy process. And one of the things that we did was, just before the foundation was going to be poured, we gathered together small stones, and we took and outlined the shape of a Jesus fish. And it was placed just so that when the church was built, it would be under the altar of the church. And we took lots of pictures of the fish so that we could show everyone, and they would remember this. But the idea was that Jesus was in the foundation of what we were building. And so that's what Peter is telling us also, that, you know, Jesus has to be that firm foundation. But I would also say that Jesus has got to be the keystone as well, top and bottom, holding us together. When the building was almost finished, this church that we were building, it was time to put the steeple on. And once the steeple was up, then it was time to set the cross. And we invited people to come and sign the bottom of the cross, to put their names on it and to put their hopes for that church on it as well. And then once those names were in place, there was a crane, and the crane took this cross and lifted it up and it got set in place. And then the architect and I got into a metal bucket, and we were wearing our safety harnesses, and they lifted the bucket up, and I was able to pray over the cross, pray for those who would worship under that cross and those who would come one day to be built into a spiritual house, to pray for the living stones who were going to be coming to be shaped in that place. Well, since the discovery of the collapse of the foundation of Bath Abbey. It's been restored. There's still work going on. They want to use the thermal springs that give Bath its name to heat the abbey. So it's going to be heated by geothermal source. And like all of, well, like many churches all over the world, Bath Abbey had to halt its in-person worship because of the pandemic. But it has just started up again. Like us, they are coming back into their building. Well, I like to think that just like those stone arches that you see in cathedrals or other big structures, we hold one another up through the power of Jesus Christ to remake us and remold us. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus predicted the destruction of the temple. And he was reported to have said that he would build a new one, not made with hands. In our text, Peter is perhaps picking up that line of thought. Clifford Walter Edwards writes, "The old temple has passed away, and Jesus himself is the foundation of a new temple. He builds a new spiritual house, employing as building material the very lives of his followers. The special place for meeting God was once confined to Mount Zion, but it's no longer limited to one place, but is available to all through the living community of the redeemed. Wherever the redeemed gather in Christ's name, there is the spiritual house of God. So even if the floor of Bath Abbey gives way, as long as there are living members of the congregation who will gather in Christ's name, they are a spiritual house. As long as we can gather, whether it's in virtual reality, in the cloud, or in person, we are a spiritual house. We gather in the name of Christ. And whether we're out in the parking lot or in the building, I am so thankful for the living stones who make all of this possible for us to worship and offer our worship to God. So present yourselves as building material for the construction of a sanctuary that is vibrant with the life that Christ gives us, a place where we meet God and feel the presence of Christ holding us together as a living temple. Amen." Well, at this time, Amanda Hughes is going to talk to us.
Good morning. So I was asked to speak about 5 to 7 minutes about what stewardship means to me and why I give. So my background is in accounting, so I tend to like facts and data and gear towards them instead of things like thoughts and feelings. So my first thought was, I don't need 5 to 7 minutes, I need 30 seconds to read Deuteronomy 14:22 that says, "Make an offering of 10%, a tithe of all the produce which grows in your fields year after year." And then that's all, I can just walk away. But then I realized I should probably think about why I actually give and my thoughts and feelings towards that, which is harder for me, but still needed. So I took some time and jotted down the reasons why I give, and I ended up with all these different ideas and reasons for why I give. So then I had all these incomplete sentences trying to figure out how to combine them all. So I decided the easiest thing to do would be to put them in a poem. So here is the end result of what I came up with. Why do I give? What causes me to act? Because to give is to receive, and that's a fact. To extend God's kingdom, because the Bible says to do it, because others have helped me in the past, and I should help others whose lives have been hit. I give to affect others in a positive way, to teach kids about Jesus so they won't go astray, to help organizations who are doing good deeds, to help with church camps, the food pantry, or some other need. I give to be part of something big,
something bigger than myself, so that my talents and gifts don't just sit on a shelf. I give because many hands make the workload light, and people working together helps God's love to shine bright. And giving money isn't the only form of a gift. I thought and I came up with this little list. Volunteering for projects, whether home or abroad. Knitting or sewing or laying down sod. Work in the nursery. Play in the band. Help with the slides. Those people could really use a hand. Bake some food. Donate diapers. Serve on a committee. No matter what you do, it won't be itty bitty. Because here is what I know, and I'm not going on a whim. God will take your gifts and he will multiply them. And one more reason that I sometimes need to be reminded of, I give because every good and perfect gift is from above. The things I have aren't mine to begin with. My talents and blessings come straight from God, and that's no myth. So why shouldn't I give back what's been given to me, then sit back and watch what God can do? I can't wait to see.
Amanda, thank you so much. And there was great rejoicing in the parking lot. I am just very appreciative of all who have given of themselves, of their time, of their creativity. And so let us pray. Lord, I just ask that you bless those who give. I ask that you bless their offering, whether it is the produce of their fields, the work of their hands, what they have earned through the sweat of their brow. Lord, please bless it and help us to use it well so that we might be good stewards of all that you have given us. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Well, I have a lot of announcements this morning. There's a ladies' book club that's forming. They're going to study the book Sick of Me by Whitney Capps. And so if you would like to take part in that, you can call the office or email the office and let Cindy know. Also, if you'd like to sign up for the Apple Tree Project, there are still a number of gifts that need to be given to children. So you can look that up on the website and pick out a child and give a gift. Also, this afternoon, don't forget, we are having our great pumpkin party from 4 to 6 p.m. And it rain or shine, we are going ahead with it at the Weirs Cave Community Center, and we're asking that volunteers arrive around 2:30, 3 o'clock. Next Sunday, we are having indoor worship for folks who want to still remain in the parking lot. That will be an option. If you are coming to indoor worship, please let us know ahead of time, especially in these first few weeks, because if we have overflow, then we'll need to set up the fellowship hall as well. And, you know, you say, well, golly, you know, the sanctuary holds so many people. Well, think about it. We're going to have to social distance, so you're going to have to be further apart, which means we have less capacity. So please register. Please let us know if you are coming. And this isn't really a church-sanctioned event because it does not fit in with our guidelines for a meeting. But if you are interested in the Young at Heart's Christmas party, let Carolyn Schwartz know. She's trying to figure out what to do with that. So I think that's all of the announcements we have this morning. So switching gears, some of our prayer concerns. We want to be in prayer for Scott Williams and his family. His father passed away, so keep them in your prayers. Also, Frank Lyons, a former member, passed away a week before last. So pray for his wife, Dottie, and his family as well. We have a number, actually two teachers passed away this week, so we want to be in prayer for their schools and for the people who know them and worked with them. It's sort of a sudden thing. And then Diana Eicher's daughter, Michelle, her husband tested positive for COVID this week, so keep them in your prayers. Of course, Michelle has been dealing with cancer, and that's concerning as well. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and we come to you with open hearts, open minds, and I ask that you would, in the midst of all that is happening, give us serenity, peace, strength, the ability to adapt as we need to, because we know that we're in the midst of a fluid situation where it seems like changes are coming at us all the time. But Lord, we know that you can strengthen us, that you can bring us through the storm and bring us to that rainbow, that promise from you. Lord, I pray for those who have lost loved ones and ask that you give us all hope in the power of the resurrection to bring new life, the power to mend the broken places, the power to heal us in body and in spirit. Lord, continue to shape us into living stones so that we might be built into a spiritual house, not one that's locked into a building, but one that is out in the world, active, hopeful, bringing the good news that you love us so completely and so deeply that there's nothing we can do to escape your love. Lord, may we be the body of Christ in the world, at work, at play, in love. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen.
And now we'll sing our last song together, Trust and Obey.
We do his good work.
And now may you go forth from wherever you are to be formed by Christ, to be made into a living temple, to go forth and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.